Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, welcome back, and welcome back to our listeners as well. Just a quick note that, we've been a little slow with the episodes in the last few weeks, and that's just because Bunty was traveling and I was busy, but we'll be a little more back to a sort of regular frequency, one every 3 or 4 days. So Bunty, for today's second episode, as we had discussed, I think we'll talk, it may make sense to talk about the judiciary. There is a motion that the opposition has moved to impeach the Chief Justice of India, Deepak Mishra, with, I believe, and this is an initiative that also has the support of concerned civil society citizens. Now, I think it was episode 52, was it?
Yes, 52. Yeah.
We had done a story about four judges of the Supreme Court, other judges, not including the Chief Justice. They had done something pretty unprecedented. They had called a press conference to talk about, the fact that there was a crisis in the judiciary as they had seen it, because the way benches were being composed to hear particular cases, a number of them who were senior judges and had in relative terms, a significant amount of power, were actually being kept out of certain cases where, the potential judgment that they could have given could have gone against the BJP. So the insinuation, the allegation there was that the Chief Justice was essentially manipulating these benches and also had too much power in deciding who heard what case. Now let's jump forward. What's happened in the last few days is that a motion for an inquiry into the circumstances surrounding the death of Judge Loya, who was hearing the Amit Shah case, as I believe it brought forth by, a concerned citizen of public interest litigation, was shot down by the same Chief Justice. And one of the grounds for him shooting it down was that when Judge Loya died in a particular guest house, he was accompanied by other, fellow judges. I think Deepak Mishra's idea was that how can you distrust the word of judges, right? So in some ways, it was making the claim that a judge should be above, all scrutiny. And we know that we want judges to be insulated from everyday politics. It's a sort of very clever rhetorical move to make. But on the other hand, it was, also seen as just a complete refusal to accept that any judge could ever be compromised in any ways, which is kind of, consistent with the stand he's taken on himself. Now, before I turn it over to you, the opposition has moved this motion. A few Congress leaders have not signed it, but, there are plenty who have. And, I think, there are a number of cases of impropriety against him, including, there's a land case, then there is a, medical scam case and so on. So there's five or six different, issues in which he's sort of under the scanner.
Okay. So Rohit, let's break it down because, these legal matters can sometimes become very obfuscating. There are lots of angles coming. So let's break it down. Mishra Ji, who's the Chief Justice of India, in our episode 52, we held up a vignette where the four other judges who sat on the Supreme Court bench were his kind of peers, were saying Mishra Ji is gaming the system, which is he's not allowing people to get a decent hearing by manipulating the apex, the top of the pyramid, to suit, outcomes. That's point one. Point two is the Lohia murder. So Lohia, again, the backdrop is he's the guy who Amit Shah has beef with, right? Or had beef with, because Amit Shah was being taken to the courts by this guy, was being prosecuted, for lack of a better word.
Well, he was a judge on the case.
Yeah, he was a judge. He was a judge on the matter, right? He was a judge on the matter, and he died under mysterious circumstances. So when an inquiry, a legitimate inquiry was requested, this guy Mishra Ji uses a rhetorical device to stop it. And there's a, quite rightly, a noteworthy groundswell of opposition. And one of the ways in which that opposition has expressed itself is to create an impeachment motion for the head of the Supreme Court bench, Mishraji. And this probably is unprecedented in the history of our country. I mean, we've had precedents. At some point, Zail Singh was on the verge of being impeached by the Congress Party, if my history lessons are accurate. But I cannot recollect having picked up a motion to impeach the Chief Justice of the country. That, to me, is the breakdown of it. Center point in all of this is Mishraji and his dubious dealings, right?
Right.
But I think the other thing that kind of sinks in here is we were doing a story earlier on where it seems that there are groups of people who call themselves lawyers who are actively clubbing together to stop legal action from taking place against particular types of cases where the government may be critiqued. So the Hindu Ekta Manch, which is a loose coalition of lawyers who are getting in the way of prosecution and cases being made against, violence against women. I see two dangerous trends, one at the top and one at the bottom, right? At the top of the judicial pyramid, we've got a man who, by popular account, seems like a fixer, right? He wants to fix the system so that he's not neutral, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And not only is he not neutral, the implication is that you mentioned about four or five dubious cases that he is under scrutiny for. So at the top of the pyramid, we've got a troubling Chief Justice. And at the bottom of the end of the pyramid, we've got people who practice law who are actively kind of banding together to deny judicial procedures. So both at the top of the system and at the bottom of the system, you've got a deep rot setting in. In part, one, the bottom end triggered by politicization of the legal professionals in this country, which, you know, has been the case for a while. But the thing that's going on at the top of the pyramid is really perplexing. I haven't heard of something like this before. And I hope that how does this get resolved? I mean, can the Chief Justice be impeached?
I suppose the person can. Now, you know, earlier today, I read a very interesting article by a senior advocate in the Supreme Court, Sanjay Hegde. And I know Sanjay a little bit. I can claim to know him a little bit virtually on Twitter because we've had some conversations. And he's written an interesting piece about, you know, I don't think he's denying necessarily the fact that, particular individuals in the legal system, who are supposed to be those who dispense justice are all perfect, that they couldn't be perfect. But I think he said that we've got to be careful that the remedy is not worse than the ailment. And he's mentioned a number of cases of there being, other motions to impeach various judges. And some of them parties went along for a little while and then decided not to. And I think he makes a good point that in some cases they were politically motivated. In some cases, maybe there was, there was some fire behind the smoke. But what winds up happening is that there's a person's reputation that does get maligned. Now, I think there's a couple of points I want to just throw in there to, complicate this further. There's one more kind of theory making the grounds, which is that there was a particular case in which the Chief Justice was involved in, had allegations of impropriety. And those were compounded by the fact that he heard the case against himself, right? I mean, what he should have done is he should have recused himself. But instead of recusing himself, he heard a case in which, these allegations against him were coming up. And the point being made is that the BJP government somehow got to him and they are, they're holding this over his head as a way of, getting favorable judgments. So there's that issue as well. So if there is any truth whatsoever to that theory,
this is Johan. So this is Mishraji not only has dubious dealings. What you're saying is Mishraji has his Stormy Daniels kind of equivalent with the BJP government holding a Damocles over him, some kind of blackmail material.
Exactly. Like there was some fixer called Captain or, something like that. And I don't know if... he was supposed to be the person asking Captain to fix things or, other players. But there is this theory that's going around on, social media. And I don't remember the name of the person I saw it from. There's certainly, he's given a number of cases that a number of judgments that have worked to the favor of, the BJP. There's another larger issue here which goes beyond the judiciary, which is a number of very prominent government officials who are in positions of power. There's a trend of them getting very lucrative sinecures from the government. You know, they get like, you become ambassador to, I don't know, like, you know, Luxembourg or something. Or, you know, there's another public sector organization and you'll become a director. So, you know, you'll go in for like 2-3 hours a week, but you'll get a generous salary. You'll get government accommodation. You know, for instance, the IAS officer who claimed that there had been a telecom spectrum scam under the Congress, which really hit the Congress government politically very hard. He's, you know, now being made like chief comptroller of, you know, the banks. And he also has some position in, like, I believe if I'm not mistaken, he also has some role in cricketing in the, you know, in the sort of institutional setup of cricketing or something, though I might be wrong about that. So what winds up happening is that people say that, you know, basically government officials or people serving the state would make a calculation that, look, the BJP government's going to be around for at least another 3 or 4 years when I retire. If I am amenable to them, then, you know, I will get this sort of cushy deal. Another few years, I get, you know, fantastic government accommodation, a salary, you know.
I get that, Rohit, but that is not particularly true of the BJP system. That's been true of everything.
Correct.
What I think, you know, so what that's kind of the basic low grade nonsense that happens in
so
public
one,
appointments.
One way to sort of, you know, ensure independence, like one thing is to make sure that you know, people don't take these jobs. So one of the judges who had called the press conference, Judge Chilameshwar, he has gone on record saying, and I think a couple of other people have also gone on record saying that we will not accept any position from the government after we retire. And I, you know, before turning it over back to you again, I want to mention that, you know, there is an element of the Congress acting holier than thou, because I know that the kind of political pressure on, you know, witnesses when it came to the 1984 anti-Sikh riots, you know, the fact that Sajjan Kumar, who was one of the accused, and, you know, HKL Bhagat, they just, I think Bhagat died while the case was technically still against him, but Sajjan Kumar, against whom there's a mountain load of evidence, I mean, the fact that he walked free, the Congress has also, you know, done exactly pretty much what the BJP is doing now.
Yeah. Well, look, I think the more we talk about the judiciary and specific personalities in the judiciary, the more angles will open up, right? You know, whether somebody, the current government holds leverage over the current Supreme, the Chief Justice, whether the Chief Justice has a deeply flawed character record by his dealings in the past, the Chief Justice is gaming the system. But I think the big point that we want to call out is, up until this point, it would be fair to say that the judiciary, there were three public institutions in India which were above kind of scrutiny. One was the central judiciary, the Supreme Court. The second was the army. And the third was, you know, to a certain extent, parliament, right? Gradually, the power of the parliament, the kind of credibility of the parliament got eroded. I think over the last 3 to 5 years, particularly in the last 3 years, the credibility of the army in public discussion, and how particularly ex-army people, how they get involved in discussion, is doing a lot of damage to the credibility of the institution of the army in the country. And I think the third bit of the puzzle, which is the judiciary, which up until now had been kind of pretty much, obviously there were isolated incidents of, you know, judicial failings, but this gradual kind of endemic rot that's seeming to set in is very concerning, because the three institutions of the executive, the judiciary, and the enforcing arm, the army. I'm not even going to talk about the police, because the police has always been a bunch of clowns in India, because they are part of the state subject and never rise above. And that, I know it does a huge disservice to a lot of great policemen, but I think they are inherently, because it's not a central agenda, they don't have, they are kind of stitched up by their local paymasters. But I think it's concerning that the parliamentary, the credibility of the parliament has slipped over the last 10 years in terms of the tone and tenor of discussions, wherein now we've got to a stage where the finance bill gets passed without the proper debate.
Yeah,
the proper debate. And these things matter, you know, because gradually what you're doing is you are eroding the institutional beliefs of a democracy.
Right.
And if you do it for long enough and in a kind of organized manner, you just be left with a lumpen, populist way of governing, which will not be any different from an Iran or a Pakistan.
Right.
But anyway, I don't want to meander anymore, but I think there are three institutions that are failing. The parliament has long been kind of diminishing. I hope the army stays, keeps a distance from the politics, and I think they will do because I have the greatest respect for the people who serve in our armed forces, both the Army, Navy, and Air Force. The judiciary is worrying, but it may be a case of a bad apple at the top, because where I take hope is chief justices who sit on the bench, like the gentleman you mentioned who said that I will not take a retirement jolly. I refuse to take any handouts from the government. And, you know, we need people like this. We need, the country needs people like this to stand up. And I hope many more, we see many more instances of this public declaration of, you know, trust and credibility.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a good note to, like, you know, end it on. So sorry about that. And I think, you know, this is again something we'll circle back to yet again, because I'm sure we've not heard the last of it. And we'll be back to talk about this as matters continue to develop. Okay. All right, man. Take care.
Okay, chalo. Take care. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.